This is the Publix Radio, 89.3 FM. I'm Chuck Hinman. It's Thursday morning, and with me in the studio is James Baumgartner for this week's Artscape feature.
Good morning, Chuck. I understand you went to an art exhibit in New Bedford this week.
It's not just an art exhibit. It's an art concept. It's called Local Ecologies. It's a traveling exhibition at three successive UMass campuses, now at UMass Dartmouth in New Bedford.
So what's so special about this one?
Well, this is an art-based concept aimed at generating understanding of our place in the local landscape by contemplating our coastal and river ecosystems as they've been overlaid by all this indigenous, colonial, and industrial history.
All right.
Now, I wasn't reading that from an exhibit catalog. That was my interpretation of the project after I visited it and talked to one of the curators, Rebecca Uchil, who says this is a series of artworks from artists who have lived, for the most part, and worked in eastern Massachusetts, and features site-specific works created for each location.
Place-based art practice, land art as a historical phenomenon, art and the environment, and more generally about what it means to respond to a specific local context through an art practice.
Uchil is a professor of art and media studies at UMass Dartmouth. She illustrates this idea of local context by citing a work from two artists, Jane Marshing and Andy Sutton.
They created a new work called Deer Harbor Radio. Deer Harbor Radio is a nomadic pirate radio recording studio and broadcast station, which is also a nomadic library, art studio, effectively a small sort of fold-out wooden box-like cart that expands once the bicycle that it's attached to is parked on the side of the road and allows for one or both of the artists to interact with various publics, asking the question, what would it be to write a love letter to a non-human being? The kinds of responses that came out of this provocation were letters to oceans, to dogs, to sperm whales, to rocks.
Dear rock, rock that I took from a mountain in Montana. Pink rock the size of a big grapefruit. I took you from a place thinking maybe you could be mine. I thought so because I considered your place, perhaps, my own. The mountain was settled by my ancestors more than 140 years ago. And that was my claim. Rock, you do not belong to me. You do not belong to my ancestors, and I am sorry. I made a mistake. I am sorry.
And so that is broadcasting during the exhibit on a frequency that you can pick up on your radio.
88.9.
And also you can find it on SoundCloud. Now, are these people who wrote these letters reading them themselves?
Yes, in most cases they are.
Mm-hmm. What an interesting idea. Something I don't think I've ever thought about, writing a letter to a non-human. You got quite a reaction if you have that much sound already.
At this point, 2.5 hours of growing recorded love letters, as well as music, whale sounds, the sea shanty chorus, and other contributors to this broadcast. It's really quite beautiful.
One of the other exhibits that I found fascinating was the molasses exhibit. I immediately thought of the Great Molasses Disaster in the north end of Boston, but there's so much more involved in that exhibit and the parts of history that it touches. Can you describe that a little bit?
Yeah. Maria Magdalena Campos Pons, a Cuban-born artist who has a long history living and teaching in the Boston area, has been thinking about the trade between her hometown of Matanzas, Cuba, and this sort of transatlantic ecology and relationship with Boston and its regions. She's focused on sugar, the medium of sugar, the sweetness of sugar that maybe disguises some of the harder truths of that industry. Campos Pons was raised on a former plantation of enslaved people, where, of course, within the revolution, the concept is that race does not exist, according to the Cuban revolutionary standpoint. Campos Pons and others point to the fact that race is a factor. People of different races do experience differentiated treatment and access to resources within Cuba. And she's made installation works elsewhere of sugar sculptures using the language of her native Cuba to identify very white sugar and very dark brown sugar using terminologies of race. In our exhibition, we have sort of the middle ground kind of mestizo sugar, which is a combination of the whiter whites and the darker browns. She's placed above those structures of sugar vats containing molasses, heavy, dark, sticky substances, ponderous substances. People actually enter the gallery wondering if they're looking at oil or paint. People want to get really close to it. There's sort of a compelling materiality to it, really terrifying when one thinks about something like the molasses disaster of 1919, where people died in the flood. That was 100 years ago. She is pointing directly to that history, but also just thinking more generally about these tough histories of sugar as a material and what it means for her as someone who immigrated from Matanzas to Massachusetts to think about herself as sort of following that transatlantic trade route and to understand the difficult histories that stood and continue to prevail in contemporary histories that stood behind that medium and its export systems.
That's Rebecca Uchil, professor of art at UMass Dartmouth, speaking about just a couple of the numerous works now showing at the Star Store Gallery in New Bedford, part of the Local Ecologies exhibit, on display through January 10th. So what else is going on this weekend, James?
Well, on Saturday, storyteller Mark Binder is hosting a Winter Solstice Spoken Word Story Showcase at the Parlor Pub in Providence. Four storytellers will perform tales of darkness, light, and the new year. There are two shows, a family-friendly one at 2 p.m. and another that's more appropriate for audiences 14 and up that starts a little later, a little after 3.
The chorus of Westerly's Christmas Pops concerts are this weekend. The 180-voice choir will be joined by the Pops Festival Orchestra for three performances, Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sunday afternoon at 2 and 4:30. That's at Kent Performance Hall in Westerly.
And we'll end today with some fiddle music by Kathy Clasper-Torch and Rachel Panich. They provided a good portion of the Christmas and holiday music that we play on the Public's Radio. Kathy will be entertaining shoppers at Frog and Toad on Westminster Street in Providence on Saturday starting around noon.
And you can find links and more information about these events at thepublicsradio.org/arts.
And let us know about your event. You can email arts@thepublicsradio.org.